Amidst the ruins of an abandoned home, a salvager pieces together a century-old puzzle.
This is odd.
A teenage chronicler of the Rolling Stones.
How did you get sucked into the middle of the Mick Jagger, Keith Richards conflict?
JFK declared we'd go to the moon, but how did the public get sold on the idea?
Without that person, the whole thing would fall apart.
Now there's a backstory.
It's been called the scariest movie of all time. A skeptical new look at the real-life events that inspired The Exorcist.
Do psychiatrists leave the door open for possession?
And Larry returns to his hometown to uncover a story centuries in the making.
It's like a ghost of a person who's still alive.
New mysteries, new secrets, new backstory.
All right, it's Dave Player here on 720 WGN. So there's a new season of Backstory debuting on Saturday, October 5th on WGN-TV. Larry Potash is the man behind it all, and he joins us tonight. Larry, how are you?
Dave, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Fourth season, your entire production crew, because I know it's massive, they must be very excited.
Right. He and me, both excited.
You know what? You know, people don't understand that in this business, in local television, but that's how it goes. But, you know, for what you churn out in these stories, yeah, they're phenomenal.
Thank you. We're excited about it. It's been a learning experience to do, you know, in news, you're typically doing a 90-second piece, and these pieces are 8-9 minutes, and gives us a chance to really tell a story in a little bit deeper fashion than news people typically get to do. So it's real fun to bring these stories to people, story history that, you know, probably didn't learn in history class.
That's right. And you know what I love about doing this in October? You've taken one of your interests, which is the paranormal, and you channeled it into some really fascinating stories.
Right. When I say my interest in the paranormal, it is typically, well, it is always debunking it in a sense, because
right,
I have a scientific view. As a journalist, I think you have to look at evidence, and the best way to sift through evidence is through science. And so, you know, this is the Halloween season, and I get it draws a lot of people. So a few of our stories, one is the Salem Witch Trials. Of course, there were no witches. That's part
right
of the story, which the tourists sometimes forget. And the other is my hometown, right next to Salem, and it is about 19th century spiritualism, that whole talking to the dead thing. How did that all get started, and why did it get started? And so we go into that story as well.
Are you saying that Elizabeth Montgomery, that wasn't real?
The episode was real.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay.
But it was just a TV show.
Thank you for clarifying. You dig into the Exorcist as well, and I didn't even know this before, and I know I'm going to learn a lot more, but it was kind of based on what they considered a true story, right?
Yeah, it's based on a real case from the 40s, and this case involves a boy, not a girl. But when you look into the documents which we were able to get from the church, we didn't get them from the church, but they're the church documents related to
sure,
the case,
sure,
you get to see how this all plays out. And clearly the movie is more dramatic.
Oh, sure.
And that's fine because it's a movie, but a lot of people, you know, it really hit them. It hit them hard. And we talked to a psychologist. We actually went to Mexico to talk to the psychologist. His mentor consulted on the film back in the 70s.
Wow.
And he said to the filmmaker, look, if you want to make money, you got to go the whole I'm possessed by the devil thing. You know, if you want to do science and a skeptical and a thing like, you know, that'll be great and you'll get some critics who will love it, but it's not going to make you any money.
But if you think about this, just watching these films over the years and all the horror films that are out there, I mean, I mm-hmm. guess you would really have to look at The Exorcist, and as you said, it is really freaky. Like, I mean, you know, you got the Frankensteins, you got the Freddy Kruegers and all that stuff. Those were scary. This really freaked you out, and it really did make you believe that this was real.
Right, because, and that's kind of how I started this story was, you know, a guy jumping out of the bushes with a chainsaw is scary, but The Exorcist is a different kind of scary because it gets to the core beliefs sort of that we're all raised with,
mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, heaven, the devil, and, you know, that's part of, you know, religion, and you're seeing it come to life on the big screen, and you just see what well, I'll get to the root of the issue with this family, and the real case was they had this kind of kooky aunt who was into Ouija boards and all this stuff. So that's kind of a lens that this family's looking through. And, you know, there's a real danger in that because some people need to see a psychiatrist.
Then you return to your hometown.
Yeah, so my hometown is Lynn, Massachusetts, and there was a family there that was like the Osmonds of the 19th century.
Okay, all right.
And they sang about abolition, and they sang for Abraham Lincoln, and Frederick Douglass lived there and used to travel with them. And there was this connection between abolition and the spiritualists and the whole talking to the dead thing. And it has a connection to the Civil War. And they built a tower on a hill where they thought they would do these spiritual retreats, and they thought they could communicate to God. And one guy even built a sort of a robot to give birth to a new Messiah.
Wow.
And so this is a bizarre story that most people have never heard of. So I go into that, and then we go into a story about a guy who actually investigates people's claims of being able to talk to the dead or what have you, and they literally do the scientific experiment with these people, which often doesn't happen, but this is a guy who does it.
Now, when you go back to Massachusetts, does the accent just fly out?
It can, certainly, when I, especially after I have a beer, because you don't want my friend saying, oh, look at you,
Mr. Fancy
all
Pants.
Proper.
Of course. You got a couple other really great stories here, too. There's a Mick Jagger, Keith Richards conflict, and JFK and the Great Space Race.
Yeah, so the Rolling Stones piece was this guy, he was a teenager, printing out a newsletter on the Stones in his bedroom. And back in the 70s, you could walk into the Stones walking down the street. And so he was able to get his little newsletter into the hands of the Rolling Stones and became really close with them and would go have dinner at their houses and would hang out with them and be in the limo and be in a room with Keith Richards as he's writing a new song. He, like, you can't believe that, right?
Yeah.
It's unreal. And he had a front row seat to all the craziness on stage and off stage, and he learns a valuable life lesson, and it's a really interesting story. And he finds out as he's looking through archives of pictures, he accidentally gets in a photo, a paparazzi photo, of that very day he gave a newsletter to the Rolling Stones.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's
and then we did, our episode two is about space and the space race and how, you know, we all think, when we think about walking on the moon, we think, oh, Americans, we're so proud of this, and we were all on board. And no, we weren't on board. And it was a big sales pitch to make it happen. And so we kind of take a deep dive into that and look at some other space stories, including, for lack of a better phrase, missile silos that are still all over Chicagoland. You've probably driven by them.
Good
God. Didn't even know they were there. So we actually went in one, which was kind of fun.
No, I love the series. And again, backstory, the new season begins this coming Saturday at 10 on WGN-TV. And the morning news, buddy, 25 years. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's hard to believe. When you reach our age, David, you realize what 25 years is.
Yeah, no, you're not kidding. Well, and this two-hour special, huge in the ratings, just like the morning show is. I mean, it really does have, and I know you know this, but it really does have a deep reach, and people really do love this show, especially when you see that in the morning, you can combine ratings from every other station in town, and it doesn't beat you guys.
Well, everybody else is kind of the same. They read the teleprompter, and they just like they did 35 years ago, and you can't do that anymore.
No.
We never did it. I mean, we certainly do the news the way we do the news, but even before the internet and the phone and this whole authenticity buzzword, like, that's just who we are, and that's just what we did. And so I'd like to think we were a little bit ahead of the game on that, and we don't have to fake this phony happy chemistry. I mean, as you see, we're not often happy.
No. That's true.
We're the brothers and sisters that none of us wanted, and it plays itself out however it plays itself out.
It's awesome. And you were one of the only ones from the broadcast, I really think, from the first year. I don't know if you started anchoring your reporting, but then you started anchoring that next year, right?
Yeah. Robin came soon after me, and Paul came in 96 during the Democratic Convention. And so it's a long time, you know, to have three people on the same show.
Yeah.
For nearly 25 years is very, very rare.
ABC 7 hasn't called yet?
You know what? times have changed, my friend. I'm not sure that I'd go. I think we got a good thing going.
Hopefully
I can limp to the finish line if the next star people will let me.
I think you will. I think you will, man. I think you will. Well, the new season, again, of Backstory, season four, this month, this time it's in October. Some really great stories for the month and for Halloween as well, but it all airs Saturdays at 10. Is there an encore, too? You did an encore.
Yeah, it's Sunday nights, and I should know the time, but as I'm sitting here, I don't. I think
check
it's 11 or 11:30, but check your TV guide. I think Andy Griffith is on the cover this week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, David.
All right, we'll talk soon. All right, bye-bye. 720 WGN.